Hello and welcome to The Big Interview, brought to you by V2 Sport with myself, Anthony Kendrick. For this week's show, I'm joined by Wolves blog editor and founder, Thomas Boff. It was a great show where we mainly talked about Wolves, but also some of the other promoted clubs and some of the goings-on at the bottom of the league. I spoke to him ahead of the 2-0 win against Southampton, which sent Wolves ninth in the table, and it's been a creditable start for them, really. Only losing one game so far. Also asked him about whether clubs that sort of size should be doing a bit better in the cup competitions. And I also asked how high the expectations are for this season. I've seen a few people predicting European football next season for Wolves, which for me seems a bit optimistic. But anyway, I get Thomas's thoughts on that. If you want to check out some of our other shows, you can find us on v2football.com or follow us on Twitter at v2sportnetwork. Also give Wolves blog a follow at Wolves blog and check out their website as well. So yeah, I hope you enjoy the show. Also, just a quick apology in advance for the sound quality in the first 2 minutes or so.
Technique from Mo Salah, who gets in on the act. It's surely Liverpool's day now. Barnes. Oh, that's spectacular! Eriksen tries again. Oh, that's phenomenal! Absolutely phenomenal!
Manchester City champions! And it's been decided in their favour at Old Trafford.
So before we get on to, we're going to talk about Wolves for a lot of the show tonight. Quite an interesting club on the up and that. But before we do, do you want to just tell us a bit about Wolves blog?
Yeah, I can do. Yeah, as I say, I've been doing it for about 10 years. I actually started it the last time we were promoted to the Premier League under Mick McCarthy. So in 10 years, I've already seen... two relegations, two promotions, seen owners come and go, about 60 managers. So it's been quite a ride and a blogging thing. And we've got a big club in. If you want to check it out, I'll the address.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the description as well. Just going back to that first time Wolves were promoted, I think the one thing I remember from that was I remember them beating United 1-0. Have you got any sort of fond memories, anything that sticks out for you?
That United game was definitely a highlight because I think at that point in that particular season, United hadn't lost any games. Mm. And we, as always, were in and around the bottom three. And we also went a goal down. I think Nani got the goal for Man United really early. And then to turn that around and get a 2-1 win was brilliant. I mean, and that season at Molineux, we beat Man United, we beat Man City, who were just coming good with all their millions going into the club at that time. We beat Chelsea at home, we beat Liverpool away. And, of course, we stayed up on the last day of the season in that amazing weekend that saw Blackpool and Birmingham go down and us survive with basically the last kick of the football. So yeah, that was great. That was a good season, even though we were at the bottom most of it. And obviously the following season we went down, but you know, the previous times, obviously every time we've been up in the Premier League, that's what we've been aiming for. We've been aiming for 17th place. Stay up at all costs, and you know, it's just nice to be back now and looking higher up the table.
Yeah, wasn't there the famous Terry Connor debacle as well? He looked completely out of his depth and came in at the end of the season.
That was ridiculous how we ended up bowing out of the Premier League. I mean, McCarthy was under a lot of pressure because we'd been in the bottom three all of the season. We ended up going down, but then he just got us outside the bottom three, but we got thumped 5-1 at home to West Brom. And when you lose at home by that margin to your local rivals, I think you're always on shaky ground. So the club decided to get rid of him without having a replacement. We were past the January transfer window, so whoever came in wasn't going to be able to bring any players in. So it was they faffed around trying to get a manager. They ended up giving it to Terry Connor, who was the assistant, and he just had no idea. He was out of his depth. It wasn't his fault. No. You know, he's an assistant coach, someone on the training ground, but he just wasn't able to galvanise that group of players. You know, they made an absolute cock-up of that, really, the club. They should have kept Mick till the end of the season and then made their decision. But yeah, I mean, that's who was running the club at the time. That's why we ended up in League One. So, that was a bad time in the history.
And what are your thoughts? Well, obviously now you can be quite pleased with what's happened with the Chinese investment group coming in, that Fosun International. But when they first took over, there was a bit of I don't know if I speak for the majority of Wolves fans, but with them getting rid of Kenny Jackett and all the controversy there, I don't think all the Wolves fans were happy with them to start with.
No, I think there's always some trepidation, because I think we've seen a lot of clubs come under foreign ownership and it goes sour. I mean, you know, look at teams like Notts Forest, Birmingham are a good example, where, you know, the even Villa, to an extent, with Randy Lerner. I mean, you get a foreign investment group come in and they can show interest initially, and then they lose interest. You think, well, what are they doing at our club, and what are their objectives in the medium to long term? Are they going to lose interest? Are they going to stop putting the money in? We were unsure about what their goals were, but they came in and they were very sort of bombastic from the start, saying we want to put a lot of money into this club. We've got ambitions to make it a very successful Premier League club. And obviously they had this affiliation with George Mendes, who was there on the scene at the first game of that season after they took over. We saw a lot of George Mendes clients coming into the club. Admittedly, they were like Benfica reserves, or people hadn't quite really made the grade elsewhere, the likes of Monaco and Benfica. But it was still exciting to see those players come in. And obviously they wanted their own manager, so they got rid of Kenny Jackett, which at the time I felt was a mistake. They ended up with Walter Zenger. They were quite an interesting story. We were supposed to get the manager, who's now the manager of Spain,
Lopetegui.
Yeah, he was supposed to come in and take over, and he basically agreed to take the job and replace Kenny Jackett. But then at the last minute, he got offered the Spain job. So he decided to take that, and he left us, in a bad position. So, we ended up getting Walter Zenger, who was disastrous. And we ended up with Paul Lambert, who just about managed to keep us in the Championship. And then they got Nuno in the summer, the previous summer, backed him and got a much better calibre of player in. And ever since, we've just been on a steady upward trajectory that doesn't seem to show any signs of slowing just yet.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of the link with Mendes? Because I know particularly in the Championship there were a few other teams there who weren't happy with it, thought it was perhaps unfair. I know it's been investigated by the Football League and they found no wrongdoing. Does it bother you at all, or are you just happy that decent players are coming to the club through him?
I suppose you don't want to be associated with anything that kind of looks dodgy. You don't like being that. And it does rankle a bit, because all our success is, we get seen as the George Mendes club a bit. Mm. Hasn't been quite so bad this season, because we're playing on more of an even keel in the Premier League, where everyone's spending some money and they're all doing their own things to try and get a competitive advantage. But I went into the club and I spoke to a senior figure, and I asked him about the Mendes connection, and he said, yes, that the owners know George, and they through various subsidiaries, there's shared ownership of the agency Gestafuti that he's part of. But they said that he doesn't dictate to us which players we have. He doesn't serve us up players on a silver platter and say, there you go, you have that player. He's just on the end of a phone. He's a contact, basically. There's a recruitment team at Wolves who identify players, and they just know that they can call on him and say can he open a dialogue with someone. When I went in and spoke to the club, they used Jota as an example, who was at Atletico Madrid, and they said George was able to pick up the phone with their president and set up a meeting, and that was the extent of his involvement, the Wolves went out there and were able to complete that deal. And the other point that was made is all the players that Wolves got last season, that the Neves and Bolly, people of that ilk, they were offered around to Premier League clubs last season and Championship clubs, and nobody else wanted them. Neves, as good as he looks now, he was in and out of the Porto side and seen as too much of a risk for a lot of Premier League clubs. Jota hadn't really broken through for the, he played for the Portugal under 21s or something the previous summer and not really impressed. So it wasn't a case of Wolves got players that nobody else could get. They were just prepared to spend some money and also gamble on these players. So so I think the link with Mendes, it certainly gives us an edge, and it opens doors for us. But I don't really have a massive problem, because I don't think that's the decisive factor in our success.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I think it's quite interesting at the minute, because FIFA are proposing to try and cap agent fees and generally try and restrict them a bit more. You know, trying to almost get rid of these super agents like Mendes, like Raiola, who's Pogba's agent, and others. Do you think FIFA should be doing that?
Well, I think a cap isn't a bad idea, because I mean, where does it end? Mm. I mean, the transfer fees just keep going up and up and up, and you know, agents seem to be getting a bigger piece of the pie. You know, there's always that old saying that you want to be the guy doing the deal, because you know you always make the most money, but that. Mm. There has to be a limit where you say enough's enough. And I mean, the amount Raiola made off the Pogba deal was obscene, really, wasn't it? And I think, you know, it's FIFA are right to be looking at that and saying there needs to be some form of regulation and sanctions. It just can't go on with agents ruling the roost like they do. And I think football in general is just a giant bubble that could burst, you know, because there's all this TV money floating around, and you know, teams are reliant on getting hundreds of millions of pounds in every year in revenue to keep themselves going. So it's a dangerous game, and I think FIFA are right to be trying to introduce some form of regulation, even if it's just very loose.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've kind of gone over the sort of the negative stuff. I want to try and look at some positive stuff. Coming into the season, there was a lot of talk about Wolves and whether they'd be in a relegation fight, whether fans thought they could get into like the Europa League, some crazy expectations from and different predictions from different people. What was your sort of opinion coming into the season?
I'd probably say I'm somewhere in the middle. I was very confident that we wouldn't be in that immediate tussle at the bottom. I didn't think we'd be rooted inside the bottom three for the whole season like we have been on previous Premier League seasons, because I felt that the team we had was already going to be competitive with those 10 to 12 teams who compete in the middle to the bottom of the Premier. I felt we could finish high up that sort of second tier table. As for the top, you know, anything, you know, you're not going to finish in the top six, so can you finish 7th, 8th, 9th? I thought, well, if we recruit well, then, you know, you look at the teams that are in that chasing pack. I mean, it was Burnley last season, finished 7th. You've always got Everton's and your Leicester's. And you think, well, why not Wolves? You know, we've got some great players. We've got a great coach. They've obviously been going to invest over the summer. You know, why couldn't it be us? I mean, I don't look at Everton or West Ham or any of the other teams who you might think could push for the 7th, 8th place in the table and think that they're in particularly great shape. I mean, they've all had new coaches in. They've all brought in new players, but you don't know how they're going to gel. So I think as the season's progressing, and particularly as Wolves are picking up some good results and looking very settled, I'm definitely starting to get more ambitious in what I think they can achieve. But still, I would say if I had to make a prediction, I'd probably be saying about 10th, 9th, 10th place if I had to put my money where I think, because I think we'll have a wobble at some point. We haven't got a very big squad, so I think at some point that could expose us. But generally speaking, I think we'll be very comfortable in the Premier League.
Yeah, I sort of agree with you. For me, you know, you assume the top six will be the top six. I don't think Man United are doing quite that badly just yet, but Leicester for me are my pick for seventh, but then I think Wolves are probably the next after that. So, yeah, I kind of pretty much agree with you, I think. In terms of the players coming in, I know you spent around 70 million in the summer. Who in particular do you think's caught the eye?
Well, I mean, I think it's worth stating that a good proportion of that 70 million was signing players we had on loan last season. Yeah. So, I mean, that, you know, we signed Jota, Willy Bolly, Vinagre. So, I mean, you know, you can write off 30, 40 million of that straight away to those players. But, I mean, the two senior Portugal players we've got in, Matinho and Patricio, have just been fantastic. I mean, everything you would hope from experienced internationals, that's exactly what they've been. They've just come in and slotted into our system perfectly. It's obviously a lot easier for Patricio being the goalkeeper. But, you know, they just bring so much experience and so much calmness to the team. A lot of the players last season we brought in were young players, so I think it's great for them to have that experience. So it's a real coin toss between, you know, Patricio and Moutinho. I'd probably give the edge to Moutinho as the standout player, just because central midfield is so pivotal, and he's just slotted in alongside Ruben Neves. And we must have, you know, you talk about, you know, where can Wolves finish in the table? If you want to tell me there's a better central midfield partnership outside of the top six than Neves and Moutinho, then I'd like to see it. Because they're both technically superb players. They can tackle, they can make short and long passes, they can both shoot from distance. I mean, you only have to see Moutinho's finish at Old Trafford to see that. So really, you know, really impressed with him. Patricio's made some fantastic saves. I think everyone is, even if you've just been tuning into Match of the Day and seeing highlights, you've seen him make some wonderful saves. And then obviously we've got Traore, who's a real wild card. Can't get into the starting 11, which says a lot about the strength of the team. But, you know, to have a player like him on the bench, he's so explosive. You can see he already puts teams on the back foot. So I think the business Wolves did over the summer was tremendous, because they didn't go mad. They signed the players who got us to the Premier League. And then they've been really selective about who they've added to that group. You know, as I said earlier, it's a small squad, but it's one with plenty of options and plenty of pedigree. So I feel really good about how it's shaped up.
Yeah, with Moutinho as well, he played for Porto for a long time and spent some time at Monaco. I know he was linked to Man United for a long time, and also a lot of other Premier League, well, a lot of other big European clubs, really. It's surprising, I think, it's ended up at Wolves, and for such a small fee. I think it was about 6 million or something. It was nothing, but it's... I think it's surprising he's ended up there, to be honest. And I think... do you think he's been overlooked a bit by bigger clubs?
Well, I mean, I suppose if you're being cynical, you'd look at the Mendes link and you go, well, he's a Mendes player. And, you know, what Mendes... Mendes has got his, you know, he's involved with a select number of clubs. Monaco are one, Wolves are one, Valencia are one, you know, Atletico Madrid are one, Porto and Benfica, you know, all the teams. So you see a lot of players moving between those clubs. So I think that Wolves certainly got the advantage there in possibly acquiring him. But I think, you know, Moutinho would have looked at what was going on at Wolves. He's got his, you know, Portugal teammate. He's got a Portuguese contingent there. There's no better place for him to go, because he's going to settle in very quickly. Portuguese coach, Portuguese, you know, international teammates he can, you know, link up with. So I think for him it was quite enticing. You know, as regards to the teams, he's just turned 32. So I don't think, you know, the top brass were probably looking at him as a sound investment. But when you see him live, you see him in action now, and you think, well, you know, for 5-6 million quid, would he not have been worth a punt? You know, particularly even for Tottenham, where you think, well, they didn't sign anyone. You know, and they just want squad players and players who they can rely on to do good jobs when they're stretched. You think, couldn't he have done a job there? But certainly, you know, we're benefiting from that, because he's a class act. He's got to be one of the best, like I say, definitely one of the best central midfielders outside of the top six clubs, but probably someone who could do a job even at that level.
I think, I think I was being a bit cynical in the way I phrased the previous question. But I do sort of agree with you. I think had, you know, say United or Tottenham or one of the top teams had come in for Moutinho as well. I know with the Mendes link it makes a difference, but I'd have thought he'd probably go to one of those top teams. I don't know. I think people are being a bit over cynical of the Moutinho thing myself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, but like I would say, it's probably his age. I think that does put people off, isn't it? And maybe maybe from his perspective, he wants to play. You know, I think he said he made a lot of noise about the fact that he very nearly came to Tottenham, very nearly went to Everton. I think he actually said he signed for Tottenham, but the paperwork didn't go through in time, like under when Villas Boas was manager there, I think. So I think he was very keen to play in the Premier League, and he's probably looking at it thinking as well, you know, I'm 31, 32. I want to actually go and experience it and play in the Premier League. I don't want to be sat in the background somewhere. So I just think it's a good fit. I just think it's the right thing that came along at the right time and it suits everyone. Mm-hmm. So it's a good deal. I just hope he can, you know, he can last the pace and we get at least a good season, two seasons of the same quality we've seen already.
Yeah. The two games people have probably picked up on, you know, the general fans and the Wolves have been involved in this season is probably the 1-1 with Manchester City and then another 1-1 with United. Both very good performances. For start with the first game, the City game, I thought Kompany's comments after were very interesting. He said that he wasn't that concerned that his team had dropped points to Wolves because he was confident that Wolves would take points off the other top teams. He's been proven right. Is it something that teams, do you think the big teams will fear Wolves a bit?
I think there's a vibe that we're a problematic team because I think we, in the Premier League, what sometimes gives you an edge is being an unknown quantity. And I think because this is obviously Wolves' first season in the Premier League, a lot of the players we're coming up against haven't played against this team before. They don't know how we play, they don't know how we set up. And I think that's to our advantage. You know, I think Klopp also said in pre-season, before even a ball had been kicked, he thought that Wolves were going to have a strong season. So I think teams are looking at the players we're bringing in and the players we've got already, and they're seeing that. But they're also seeing how we play, I think. You know, I think we're quite an interesting team because we set up quite defensively on paper. You know, because we play three at the back, two wing backs, so it could drop into a back five with two holding midfielders very easily, but then we can get forward in numbers and play with a proper front three, a fluid front three, and wing backs who can overlap. So it's we're quite a unique team, I think, because we can be very defensive. If teams want to dominate the ball and try and break us down, we're happy just to sit in, keep a shape, and then break forward when the opportunity, yeah, you know, exists. And that's what we did against Man City and against United to an extent. But then, you know, when we played Burnley, who were happy to sit off us and let us have the ball, we just completely dominated the game, dominated possession, 65% possession, 30 shots on goal. So I think they're quite an intelligent team, Wolves, now. They're just set up in a very strong way. Every player knows their position. And I think Kompany just would have seen that and recognised that it's not going to be easy for teams to play against. Whether or not we take any serious points off the other top six teams, you just don't know. You go into every one of those games as a, you know, an underdog, and you just hope to do the best you can. But I mean, I would fancy Wolves to probably cause one or two more upsets before the season is out.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned the system and that, and I think someone who's really thrived this season, Matt Doherty, the right back, well, right wing back I should say, but I think he's been excellent all season really.
Yeah, I mean he's a player who is really great. You know, when you're a fan and you go down to the games for years on end, I mean, I've been a season ticket most of my life. He was coming through the last time we were in the Premier League. So, you know, 2011, 2012. So it's like 7 years. We've seen him come through the academy, you know, come into the team, struggle at times. But then the last 3 years, really, 3.5 years, he's just been on this steady upward trajectory to the point where he looked a very accomplished Premier League performer. And he just thrives in this system, playing with, you know, brilliant passes. You can pick him out with cross-field balls. He can run into space. He's just a very composed, level-headed player. I'm absolutely staggered he hasn't managed to get more caps for Ireland than he has. I think he only got his first one in the summer, which is absolutely bananas. But I think, you know, it's just, he's been unfortunate because it's one position where they've got some good players. And I don't think Martin O'Neill likes the way he plays, actually, because he's not a conventional fullback in a lot of ways. So, but yeah, certainly he's been great. Had a bit of a wobble the first few games, scored a bit of a comical own goal at Leicester. But ever since then, he's come good again. He's carried on the Championship form into the Premier League, which a lot of players have done.
Mm-hmm. And I was at Old Trafford at the weekend with you guys picking up a point. I thought you could have won that game on another day. I thought De Gea made a couple of very good saves. And it was another really accomplished performance, I think. I know United have struggled last season against promoted sides, but I'd not seen a team play with such confidence. And could, as I say, I wouldn't have argued with the result if you guys had found a winner. Had you scored that goal at the end? Well, that chance at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I think could have won it, could have lost it. I mean, you know, we were very unfortunate, I felt, to find ourselves a goal down in that game. We'd come on strong from the start. We got at United. But then, you know, your fear is when you're playing one of the big six is that one of those big name players is just going to produce something. And that's exactly what Pogba did. He just played that lovely little reverse pass into Fred and a snapshot from the edge of the area right into the side netting. It's like, well, you can't, there's not a lot you can do about that. That's just quality. But, you know, credit to Wolves, that they hung in the game, which is what they're very good at doing, that, not just going to pieces. And they just knew that eventually they would create a chance, because they always create a chance. And, you know, it was just a wonderful finish from Moutinho. And, yeah, could have won it. I mean, United had a long spell. You know, they were doing that thing of standing a lot of high balls up to Fellaini and Lukaku. And Pogba was putting some decent crosses into the area. So we could have lost it, but then, like you say, we could have won it. I mean, Traore came on, as he always does, and he rampaged through a few times, and with better decisions or crisper finishing, we might have found a winner. So, but yeah, I mean, I expected us to put in a good performance at Old Trafford. I think there's a lot of pressure on United on their own ground to produce. I just fancied us to do something. So it's just nice to see them actually execute on a big stage and actually prove what a good team they are.
Yeah. And in the League Cup, you guys got knocked out on penalties against Leicester. With your side kind of being in mid-table, let's say, do you think the cup competitions is something you should be taking seriously?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see us, you know, pushing the cups. I mean, what can you do? I mean, we played a second-string team against Leicester. Leicester also played their reserves predominantly, but they're second 11. They've got probably greater squad depth than us. So they put out a pretty good team. I mean, Vardy played for them, and Iheanacho came on, and, you know, they're Wes Morgan at the back. They're all big names. So I felt Wolves gave them a good game, and unlucky to go out on penalties, even though our penalties were utterly feeble. But I mean, the cups, yeah, I'm disappointed to see us go out, because I think what are you in it for? You know, if you're not going to push for titles or top six or Champions League, you're not fighting relegation. What's the point of it all? You know, if you're not going to try. So yeah, it's still the FA Cup, obviously, and I personally would love to see us go far. I haven't seen us play at Wembley in my lifetime. So that's obviously something I'd like to check off the list. Maybe Tottenham's new ground will be postponed further, and I'll get an opportunity that way. But yeah, I mean, yeah, they've got to take the cup seriously. But maybe they're still looking at this season and thinking, got to stay up, got to stabilise,
yeah,
got to get the money in for next season, and then maybe they'll have another go. But I can only see it when the FA Cup rolls around, we'll just play our reserves again. So you just hope you get lower league teams in the early rounds, and then when you get to maybe the close to the quarterfinalish or round before that, you start to field stronger teams. But I wouldn't hold my breath, but I'm certainly hoping that, you know, we do something in the FA Cup.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think I'm being a bit harsh. I think it sort of stems from teams like Leicester, like Everton, who you're pretty sure will be safe in the Premier League, not making a serious effort in the FA Cup, say, which I think is a bit disappointing. But I think with Wolves, with it being the first season up, I think they've got to be cut a little bit of slack, in my view.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, managers will always say that if you've got a squad of 22 to 25 players and you stick with, I mean, Wolves have named the same team in every Premier League game. So if you've got, you know, 25 players in your squad and you've got 14 who basically never get to play, or a few of them that come off the bench, you've got to give them some games.
Yeah.
You know, so if you want to give those players games and keep them happy, you've got to look at changing it somewhere. And the cup competitions just give you that opportunity, don't they, to do it? So it's just the way it is, really, isn't it? I mean, that you're not going to change it. And I think that will carry on unless they put some kind of regulation in to stop that. But, I don't know how you can enforce it.
Well, yeah, it was like, I still remember when Ian Holloway got a fine, and he said, how can the FA possibly tell me that any member of my 23-man squad isn't good enough to play? And yeah, there was quite an uproar about that, I recall. But yeah, you look at the Wolves squad overall, and outside of the 11 and, you know, a few others, it's a bit weak in my view, especially in attack, I think. Is that something that's a concern for you? I mean, if yeah. Jimenez gets an injury, are you in trouble?
Possibly. I mean, they've got Leo Bonatini, who did a good job for us last season. Not really the most prolific. He got like 12 goals in the first half of the season, and he looked like incredible. And then he didn't score again for the rest of the season. So, you know, he's there. Obviously, they felt that they could get rid of Ben Akinfobi. They bought him, signed him on a permanent basis in the summer, and then sold him immediately to Stoke. So I think Nuno likes to operate with a very thin squad. And the thing is as well, he's got Jota, who is playing on the left side of a three at the moment, and he can play up front. And then obviously you can bring Traore in,
yeah.
And you can, you know, you've got Helder Costa there. And also there's Ivan Cavalero, who hasn't played this season. He was one of our better players last season, so he's knocking around too. So I think the way that Nuno likes to work is he likes to keep a very lean squad to keep everyone happy, but then he likes to have players who can switch around and operate in a few positions. So I think it's quite fluid. But then again, I do think they wanted to get... I think what they wanted, the two players they didn't get in the summer that they wanted, they wanted a striker, another striker, and I think they wanted someone who could play a wing back and possibly also in central midfield. They tried to get Zinchenko from Man City, and we had a bid accepted, and he just literally decided he didn't want to come, which is his prerogative, I suppose. I think in January, if we're going to see anyone, it probably would be a striker and that kind of utility player. But I'm still pretty pleased with how the squad is. Unless we get two or three injuries, we would feel it then, I think. But I'm confident in the team though. I think because we've got such a strong system, the players that come in, Nuno always seems to find a way to make it work. So.
It kind of ruins my next question, but yeah, I think Yotel being top scorer, my question is, would Jimenez score enough? Because I know he's not really known as that finisher. He's sort of a creative kind of striker. But I guess you would say with the system, there's enough goals amongst the team, or do you think the side needs an out-and-out finisher?
Well, I mean, Jimenez has got two. I mean, he got one against Everton. He obviously got the winner against Burnley, which was important. He's getting chances as well. I mean, against Man United, he could have scored. De Gea made a save off him. Against West Ham, he missed some absolutely horrendous, you know, really clear-cut chances. So he's getting himself in there, and he's got a couple of goals. So I'm confident in him. I do think he'll, as good as he is for the team as a facilitator, I think he can actually find the net and get some goals. But yeah, it's shared around in the team. I think you've seen already Neves and Moutinho have scored. Jimenez has scored. Bolly scored. You know, we've shared the goals around the team, and that's kind of how it was last season. I know Jota ended up with 20-odd in the Championship. I mean, the worrying thing for me is that he hasn't scored yet, because he became our talisman last year, and he's got goals in his game. So I think if he starts firing, then, you know, it could take the team to a whole other level. So I think there's plenty of goals in the team, but then, yeah, I mean, it would be nice to see possibly one other player, but I'm loath to upset the balance of that squad, because I think at the moment it's really nicely poised.
Mm-hmm. Sort of similar to yourselves with Wolves, there was a lot of hype around Fulham when they went up, partly I think because of their entertaining football that they play as well, and people excited to see them back in the Premier League. They spent a significant amount of money. They spent about 100 million, a couple of loan players coming in, Mitrovic, Seri, for significant fees, and numerous others. Similarly to yourselves, where do you see Fulham finishing up? Do you see them sort of finishing mid-table like yourselves, or?
I think what Fulham have done is a bit bonkers, really, because when you think of, I mean, Wolves came up, we had a system, we had players who were very comfortable in their positions, and what the manager's done is he's upgraded about two or three areas of the pitch, still exactly the same system. He's brought in very similar players, but just better versions of them. So we had John Ruddy in goal. We brought Patricio in. We had Romain Saiss in midfield. He brought Moutinho in. We had Bonatini in front. He brought Jimenez in. So players who were just a rung up the ladder, basically, which makes sense. So everything's the same. We're still going to play the same way. You know, you've got players who know what they have to do in that system. Whereas Fulham came up and went, well, basically, we're going to replace the entire team. Mm. And I just don't see the logic in that. I just think it's complete overkill because they already had really good, like Wolves, so like really functional team that everyone knew their positions, everyone knew how to play, they were very comfortable. So why then go and think, okay, I'm going to change every single member? I think they've got, you know, three or four more players than they should have got. So they've got a much bigger squad now. They can't keep all those players happy. You know, but then obviously they've got some very good individuals. I mean, Seri's obviously a very good player. I really rate Mitrovic. I think that signing him, he was a player I was hoping Wolves might go in for if Fulham hadn't made that deal permanent. So I think they'll be fine because I think they've got a lot of good individual quality. And I think Jukanovic is a good coach. So eventually he'll probably get that team. He'll find his best team and he'll get them firing. But I just thought it was a bit crazy in such a short space of time. It was almost seemed like panic, you know. And I don't think they'll finish above Wolves because, as I sit here now anyway, because I just feel like we're a team and they're just a group of individuals, you know, who are all very talented individuals. But I just feel like they took a step back, you know, in the pursuit of trying to make giant leaps forward.
You mentioned the squad depth at Wolves. Well, we mentioned the squad depth at Wolves. I know Fulham have used 28 players this season. I know with the League Cup, that kind of, they've brought in a few youth players and things, but it's a heck of a lot more players. But if Fulham get a few injuries, is there a reasonable argument that they've got plenty of other players, particularly in the attacking positions, that they'd be more adaptable as a squad?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you've got more bodies, you know, that's good. But, I mean, there's just nothing to say that those players are going to come in and work within the system. Do you know what I mean? I feel like as thin as Wolves' squad is, they've got two players who can play in every position. And, okay, you'll have the players coming in won't be of the same quality as those going out. So, for instance, let's say Neves get injured and we had to play Romain Saiss. We'd lose something from the team because the quality is not as good. But I feel like the team as a whole is so well drilled and set up that we'd be able to cope. So I think it's not just about squad, you know, the depth of, you know, names on a sheet of paper. It's about how well the players who come in can you know, make the team whole again and make them operate. So that's why I think Wolves probably have the advantage, even though Fulham have probably got on paper what looks a deeper squad.
Yeah. It's quite an interesting thought, actually, with the idea of sort of fantasy football against the actual reality of it, because, you know, if you're playing FIFA or whatever, then, you know, you'd be quite happy with Fulham. Also quite a big spend as well, you know, 100 million odd in the summer. But the bottom line, I suppose, is they've only won one game this season, and that was the 4-2 against Burnley.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think they've been unlucky. So, I mean, they were 2-0 up at Brighton, if I recall. Probably should have won that game. They could have beaten Watford at the weekend after a very slow start. And obviously they got absolutely tonked by Man City, which they're not going to be the first or last team to experience that. So I think, you know, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. But it's just, I don't think they'll be, you know, perhaps as strong as people thought when they saw that business being done over the summer.
Yeah, I agree. I want to look at the other promoted side, Cardiff. Currently they sit in the relegation zone. They didn't spend any serious money. They've signed Greg Cunningham, Josh Murphy, Bobby Reid, Alex Smithies, with Harry Arter and a couple of other loanees coming in. Are they a side you think are doomed and will finish bottom, or do you think there's some fight in them?
I think it's looking tough for them because you were really looking at them and thinking they need to get a good start. And I think they had some fixtures where you thought they could get a win there. I mean, Newcastle at home was one. I think, can't remember who else they played. Huddersfield at home, I think they played. I think that was a draw. Yeah. You know, you were looking at those thinking they need to get some wins on the board. And because they haven't really done that, it's starting to look like a long season. Because I think they, the thing that Neil Warnock's so good at in the Championship is getting a group of players, galvanising them and getting the best out of them. Kind of like McCarthy, Mick McCarthy's really good at. But that can only get you so far. If you haven't got, you need some quality. And I think they haven't got enough Premier League quality in that squad to really justifiably expect to beat anyone, really. They will get some results. I mean, if Wolves were playing away at Cardiff tomorrow, I'd be nervous about that game. I'd probably be as nervous about that as I would be, you know, playing, you know, Everton away or someone, you know, mid-table, because I know how they'll approach that game. Put a lot of balls into the area. They're very direct. And I'm surprised they haven't managed to shake out a few more results playing that way. But yeah, I mean, they went down the route of buying good Championship players and players who prove themselves in the second tier, but that there's a long way off being good in the Championship and making the grade in the Premier League. So obviously my money would be, you know, firmly behind them getting relegated. But I think there are teams who have already shown that they're going to find it a struggle to get points themselves. So whether they can make it interesting will be interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I think Cardiff have been a bit unlucky, to be honest. I mean, I watched their game against Newcastle. That was a really entertaining game. I remember Kennedy missing the penalty right at the end for Newcastle. But Cardiff also had their chance in another day. They win that game. But also against Arsenal, I thought they were unfortunate. They lost that game 3-2. So, I don't know. I think they've shown a bit more fight than... Because I think going into the season, I expected them to finish rock bottom by a mile, and they've shown a lot more fight than I expected, personally.
Yeah, I mean, they've got fight. I mean, that's the one thing you know from a Neil Warnock team. But I think the thing is, it's getting the results. You know, it's like when Wolves were going to Old Trafford, I was really frustrated at half-time. It's like we played so well, but we just looked like we're just going to get edged out of it. You know, when the opportunity's there, you've got to get the results. You've got to take the game by the scruff of the neck, score the goals or keep the ball out of the net yourselves and get over the line. And that's ultimately, you know, you'll probably find that the teams at the bottom say, oh, it's hard luck stories. You know, we didn't get this decision. This didn't go our way. It's like, well, you know, you put yourself in a position to be vulnerable to getting a bad result. And, you know, you've got to get the results. And, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that even though Cardiff might have been unlucky, you know, ultimately they've been edged out of the games. So I haven't got a massive degree of sympathy for them in that respect.
Okay. I want to ask as well, with like teams like yourself, a bit like Fulham and some other teams playing exciting football, you've also got the negative sort of sides like Cardiff, I suppose. Newcastle, Rafael Benitez has got criticised for some of the games he's played. Well, managed, not really played, but I do want to ask what your thoughts on playing styles are like. Do you think that these days managers have got to play attractive football like, say, Wolves, or do you think it's okay to play more negative football if you get the results, especially at the bottom of the table?
Yeah, I think every team's different. I think it's very results focus. What I always say is, it doesn't matter how you play if you're winning matches. If you're winning matches, no one really cares. But you know, with the possible exception of Mourinho. The problem is if you play like, I suppose negative football is perhaps the wrong word. They would say it like counter attacking or, you know, however you want to put it. But if you're playing that way, you're not proactively trying to get wins from the very start, then You've got to get the results, because if you don't get them, you're going to be massively criticised. So I think it's definitely going away from playing on the counter attack, from sitting deep and absorbing pressure, and it's more about pressing higher at the pitch, and then when you've got the ball, moving it around, you know, passing it as you know, as well as you can do with the players you've got. So you know, Mourinho and Benitez changed the way the Premier League, you know, operated. About, you know, when Mourinho was first at Chelsea and Benitez went to Liverpool, I think they both came in and they had so much success because they were able to set teams up in a way that made it very difficult for the opposition to break down. And also they took advantage when opportunities came their way to, you know, to exploit defensive weakness in the opposition. But I just think the game has moved on, and I think managers like Klopp and you know, Guardiola and Pochettino, they've just shown that you can defend from the front. There's a different way of doing it, and the result, the proof is in the pudding, because those teams are now the ones who seem to get the results. And even though Man United finished second last year, you'd have said that Mourinho's stock was significantly lower than that of Pochettino or Klopp. Yeah. And the reason for that is that their playing style, and the fact they keep the fans entertained and they rate them, and they can see that the team is being built in the right way, in a way that they approve of. So I do think that, yeah, there's a massive pressure to deliver a brand of football, and that's ultimately why I think Mourinho's having the problems he's having, because I think he's a bit, I do think he's yesterday's man to an extent.
Yeah, yeah. Just one final question, which you've led me quite nicely onto, actually, before we end the show. I want to ask if you think Wolves can keep hold of the likes of Neves and some of the other top players, but also the manager, Nuno, do you think as a unit, or do you think that they may lose some and then the wheels might fall off a bit?
Well, that's the fear. Because I don't think, if we keep this group of players together and we keep the manager, I can only see us maintaining what we're doing or getting even stronger, because we've got ambitious owners who'll back us to get better players. But, you know, the question isn't whether we can keep them. It's the question is, does somebody want them? You know, let's say Man United decide at the end of the season Mourinho's gone. We want someone else. Are they going to turn to Nuno? Probably a bit premature to think he's going to get, you know, a job that big, but you never know. But I can't see any team outside of the big six being able to attract our players, because why would you go to, I don't know why, if you're Ruben Neves, you go to Everton over Wolves. I mean, that's not disrespecting Everton, they're a big club, but in my eyes, you know, with what's going on at Wolves at the moment, I think we're just as likely to push the top, you know, 7th, 8th position in the league as they are. So,
but do you not?
Is one of those powerhouse teams going to come in for them? And if they do, then it's very difficult for anyone to keep their players.
Yeah, fair enough. I can see, say, a Man United or a very, you know, a big side coming in for, say, Ruben Neves, for instance.
Yeah, I think Neves is the one. Neves is the one that seems to be getting a lot of the hype. And, you know, if Man City or Man United decide they want to pay big money for him, and I think it would take big money, his 5-year contract, he's only 21 years old. You know, I think you'd be talking mega bucks to get him. So it's just a case of that. But I think he's a very switched on guy as well, and I think he could have gone this summer if he'd really wanted to push for a move. But I think he wants to play. You know, I know money talks, and ultimately he will move if Man City or Man United or Liverpool decide they want him. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he did go, but I think with him, he'd be wise enough to think, am I going to get a game? Is this going to advance my career? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, the important thing is, though, from my perspective, is to keep the coach, regardless of the players that come and go. Nuno is the reason we are where we are today, and he's absolutely essential. You know, if you're giving me the choice of keeping Neves or keeping the manager, I'll keep the manager every day of the week. So that's the most important thing for me.
Fair enough. All right, well, that seems a good way to end the show. As I mentioned earlier, you can check out wolvesblog.com. Also check out our website, v2football.com. Yeah, thanks for listening, and thank you for providing your time tonight. It's been much appreciated, Tom.
No worries, having me on, mate.
Yeah, no worries, Ed. And thank you for listening, and good night.